Hi, friends.
Hi, friends. Hello, hello.
Hi, friend.
Hi, friend. Oh, hi, friend. Welcome to the last episode of this season.
It always feels really deep, serious.
Yeah, it does feel really deep, serious, and sad. I don't know why. It's always like, oh, my God. But happy vibes. Yeah. It's been a good one, I think.
Yeah, it's been a good one.
Yeah, like lots of really, really good readings.
Good takeaways.
Yeah. I've learned so much, I feel like, this season, so it's been great. Heavy, though. It's been heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. And in some ways, like, we're ready.
Yeah. Like, I think we're both looking forward to, like, a good rest. I'm looking forward to just reading what I want.
Yeah.
Like, I've always known myself to be a mood reader, but I think I've never realized like how
until now
like how real that is for me until like now. It's been so hard to like not just read according to my moods and my random whims,
and I finish books when I want to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily need to finish them consecutively.
Exactly. So, oh my god, didn't even introduce ourselves, sorry guys. You know, see, welcome if you come here every week, but if you're new, welcome to Stacked, the podcast about life and books and life with books. So happy to have you guys here with us. But okay, so what have you been up to, friend?
Yeah, nothing much, to be honest with you.
Nice.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
I love to hear that people have been up to nothing.
Yeah,
I feel like we all need to do a whole lot more nothing.
Yeah, I haven't been. I mean, I do feel bad about it because there's some things I wanted to do, but
don't feel bad about it. Them. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? The world didn't end.
Nope. I started a new journal though.
Nice.
I've been journaling for a really long time, like since I was 7. So, whenever I get a new one, it feels like such a like christening.
Yeah.
And I'm so silly because I write a letter to the diary, like, "Hey, nice to meet you.
Introduce yourself."
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I did it when I was 7, so now I just feel like I have to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or it's just some sort of ritual. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
But, do you keep all your, like, journals?
Every single one.
Really?
Yeah. And love I put that. A picture of myself at the moment.
Oh.
And the thing is, I did it then.
Yeah.
So I feel like, shouts out to you.
Exactly. She had vision.
She had vision.
From 7.
But that's probably the biggest moment.
Yeah, no, that's going to be great. It's going to make, like, writing your biography very, very easy. So,
that's so that's funny. Good. Do you think I would do that? I don't tell anyone all how it's been.
No, others will. You never know.
I feel like it's just going to be one long relationship. That you know about. That'll be, like, most of it.
I mean, and it would make for good reading.
And then school, because you know, guys, I've been in school all my life.
Yeah. Yes, Amanda's a scholar. Yeah.
Yeah, so, but it's fun for me. What about you?
God, yeah, no, what have I been up to? Just getting my ass kicked by hay fever.
I'm sorry for the kids.
It's actually so hard. Yeah. It's a really I was difficult wondering, way to live.
Yeah, it's like, are you sick? But actually, it's the hay fever.
Yeah, it's hay fever. It's just, like, I'm always congested, but, like, it's just so much worse.
It's worse this year, right? Because I feel like my other hay fever friends are saying that it's worse.
I feel like I say that every year. Like, for the past 3 years, like, every year, I'm like, this is the worst, like, it's ever been. And then also, it's, like, happening earlier and earlier.
Really?
Like, each year. Yeah. Honestly, I was feeling it by, like, the beginning of April.
Mm.
So.
And no sun to attest.
No sun to no sun to even make it worth it. You know what I mean? Like, no sun, nothing. But, yeah, no, I'm good.
Your eyebrows look good.
Oh,
did you get them done?
Thank you. Yes, I did. Yeah. I did
shows. Get them done. They look good.
I do still very much love my eyebrows. But, yeah, girl, just chugging on, you know, after last week's mini little... rant.
Oh,
I felt a lot better. So, yeah, you know, chugging along.
Yeah, and yet things remain. Do you know what else I've been struggling with? Hair, my hair.
Girl, let's talk about it.
I have really been struggling with, because I feel like when my hair is in braids, my life is a bit easier. Like, I can wake up a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good. Mm-hmm. It's great.
You get up, you go.
I don't like sitting down to get my braids done. I think it's a waste of time. I don't like that taking it out. I feel like it's threatening my
hairline.
Mm-hmm. I don't like the threads.
Yeah.
So you can't do it as frequently as you want to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't do my own hair. Zipporah's really good at doing her own hair, by the way, guys.
Not really.
She's amazing. And then obviously hairdressers are not flexible because they have a business.
Yeah.
Like, so they can't just be like, yeah, whenever you want. Like, you have to book in advance. Mm-hmm. And then I just... I don't know. I'm kind of getting frustrated. I just want to shave it off.
Oh my God, yeah.
I'm so tired.
I've been having that conversation with myself so much recently.
Well, I'm getting dreaded.
Yeah, I'm either shaving it off or I'm locking it up. And that's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. And my mum's like, no, no. And I'm just like, no. You don't get it.
Yeah, I'm like, you're not there with me in the salon, you know? You're not there with me in the shower and wash day.
Didn't I tell you what happened to me the other day where I put a deposit down to do some braids and I just didn't ask them the price because I assumed it would be normal. And I paid the deposit, £40, and then they were like, oh, yeah, so that'll be £300.
Oh, yeah, you told me this.
And I was like, well, you just keep that money.
I was like, £300 for braids is ridiculous. I know, and I don't want to get back into this, like, rant again. Like, I know that everything
it's is really now, expensive, like, hyper-priced. Yeah.
But £300 for braids? Like, what kind of braids were they doing?
Honestly, it was literally just, what's that thing called? It was the... No, the French curl one. So basically pick and drop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And the thing is, obviously, if people have £300 to pay on hair, amen. God love bless that you. For you. So happy for you. Mm-hmm. But for me... I never expected it.
Yeah, no.
That kind of, those prices aren't on my radar.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't even ask.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it would never be. Mm-hmm. But I'm the fool. Yeah. I'm the fool. But yeah, I'm really considering now just like giving up.
I'm definitely locking up my hair.
Or I perm it, but I just think that's, I'm so anti.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like at this point, just do whatever's easiest.
I don't want to spend any more time on this hair thing.
Mm-hmm.
This week we are talking about, honestly, one of my favourite writers just as a public person, Zadie Smith.
Mm.
I feel like, can you hear my ears jangling?
Yeah, I just heard that. I love your earrings.
They're
so cute.
Mm-hmm. They're so loud. Like, keep quiet when I'm talking.
Yeah.
Zadie Smith. Zadie Smith was born 25th of October 1975. But does that make her a Libra? I don't think so. Is she just... It doesn't matter, guys.
No, I think she's just outside.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wait, any actually, reason to like feel close to her? Yes, 1975, not a Libra. In Wilson, to a Jamaican mother and English father who was 30 years his wife's senior.
Mm.
And I also really relate to this because my dad is much older than my mum. So I always felt very alone in that.
Mm.
So when I've met lots of people actually who have the same experience, but Zadie Smith is one of the first actually for me personally. And yeah, she's from Wilson and both of me and Sephora live in Northwest.
Yeah, Northwest.
One of the forever. So one of the things I think I really loved in her work was that she always references Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels so good to hear a bus number that you actually know.
Mm-hmm. A road that you've walked on, sounds and sights that you can literally see and hear as she describes them just because they're so familiar to you.
Yeah, so we have a lot to talk about with Zadie Smith because honestly we're really big fans. But yeah, so she studied English literature at Cambridge and... published her debut novel, White Teeth, when she was 24. She wrote when she was 21.
Yeah, nuts. And, like, White Teeth is such an accomplishment as well. It's such a sprawling novel. I'm like, how did you have this in your head at 21? Even just the way that it starts... I'm jumping ahead.
No,
but like,
start.
Even the way that it just, like, starts off, I'm like, sorry. Who has this presence of mind at 21?
And the thing that's so funny is that it's not like she planned to write it. Like, when I was researching, in an interview, she basically said that an agent had said to her, are you working on a novel?
Mm.
And she just said yes.
Mm.
She just lied. And then went home and was like, I better make this true.
Yeah.
So, I think she's super impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, wrote that novel and honestly never looked back. It was a hit.
Yep.
And everything she's done since has been a hit. And even recently she released The Fraud. And I remember walking into Foyles and, you know, when they pile up all these books on a stand, I walked in there, there were 5 books left.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, she's amazing. So she writes novels, short stories, essays, and she recently wrote a play, The Wife of Willesden.
Mm.
I haven't seen it, did you?
No. It's based on, The Wife of Bath?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I didn't see it.
And she became a tenured professor in the creative writing faculty of NYU in 2010 and lived in New York for 10 years after that, or since. Or NYU is New York University, guys, by the way. And yeah. That's Zadie Smith.
Yeah.
Zadie Smith.
Big writer in our lives.
Yeah. And I think she's very, even though she's quite private, she lives locally.
Mm-hmm.
When she's in the UK, she lives quite locally.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel like she's one of those writers that is really good at those talks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you watch Toni Morrison's interviews back, you're like, goodness, this stuff could be another book.
Yeah.
And I think Zadie Smith is the same. I think you collect a lot of her speeches, and I just feel like I have so many life quotes from her.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why she wrote her book so young is because she said she's always had this really urgent sense of death and like her mortality as a human being. And I remember in Intimations, a collection of essays that she wrote that we will talk about, she says that one of the greatest things about that she's grateful for is that her fears have always been greater than her desires. Mm. And one of the fears being fear of dying. Oh, no, dying before she's able to do what she wants to do. So yeah, I just feel like she has so many quotes that I...
That's so interesting. So kind of like her fear of dying empowers her to...
As in fear of dying before she's able to finish what she wanted to do. Yeah. Yeah. Like basically very conscious of the fact that she won't be here forever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember another interview where she said one of her greatest successes is not allowing herself to be too distracted from the things that are meaningful to her. Mm. And I thought, what an amazing thing to say is an achievement. Mm-hmm. Like not winning all the awards that she's won,
mm-hmm.
but like just saying, actually, I've been focused on my priorities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's an incredible, incredible woman.
Yeah. And also a very famous Luddite. Like, she really hates technology. She has a kind of burner phone. She emails everybody. She doesn't, like, WhatsApp or do any of that.
Really?
She's not on social media. She just has her laptop and, like, a basic kind of phone. And very famously goes on, like, spiels about how the internet is killing us.
And she's probably right.
Yeah. She's the one who recommended that...
Surveillance
capitalism. Life under surveillance. Yeah, that I will
never. Oh, that was a Zadie Smith recommendation.
Yeah.
I found out something kind of interesting about Zadie, which I actually didn't know before. So, like, did you know that she was born Zadie Smith and not Zadie?
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Actually, one of my really good friends... Her auntie went to school with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I knew that from them.
I'm trying to picture her as a Sadie. And I'm like, you know what, actually? I don't see it.
It's funny because she says how she always knows when someone who's like calling her out in the street mm-hmm. is from her like former life.
Because mm-hmm.
she's like, she can hear this.
This in the thing. I know, that's really funny. And she changed it like as a teenager, right?
Yeah.
Which is so interesting to me because I'm like...
I want to change my name, you know.
I think
it's one of the coolest things to do.
Why would you want to change
your
name?
I don't like my name.
Why?
It just feels like it's not me.
It is.
But you would say that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I would say that.
But like, it just feels so white.
No, I mean, now that like you changed your last name or like the last name that you go by, I feel like it's perfect. Triple A.
No, but I didn't change my last name. That's just like what those are just my... three full names.
Yeah.
Okay. But then I feel like I still am like Kingsley, but...
Oh, so it's like three first names.
Those are my three, as in like my first and all my middle names.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Not my... That was just a mistake at Africa, right?
I was like, who's that?
Really? Yeah.
Oh, but it's your Instagram name as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I just didn't put my surname on Instagram.
I see. Yeah. I see. Yeah. Okay.
Fun. So, key themes in her work include race, especially kind of... as a mixed race person,
mm-hmm.
kind of, yeah, the feeling of like, am I white, am I black?
Mm-hmm.
Or like that being questioned about that all the time, even if you don't feel that, if you're not questioning it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Class, family relationships, I think are huge.
God, in every book.
I think every single one.
Yeah, yeah, it's in every book.
That's probably the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
I put repercussions here because I feel like often her books carry through people's lives.
Yeah.
So you always see the impact of their choices.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's a big theme in her work. And then self-actualization, which I think is quite similar. Is it? Maybe not. But and then immigrant life.
Mm.
Yeah, in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess some from her experience in the US as well. So the books we covered, White Teeth, which focuses on the later lives of two wartime friends, the Bangladeshi Samad Iqbal and the Englishman Archie Jones and their families in London.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a little kind of tangential middle-class family that
yeah.
kind of has a little moment. On Beauty, which is about an interracial family living in the university town of Wellington, Massachusetts, and how this family clashes with another family living in the town because both fathers are academics. And it kind of goes through... talks about the clashes between liberal and conservative academic values, but also race and like what it means to be authentically Black, and of course beauty being the kind of title. And then lastly, we read Intimations, which is a personal and short series of essays on Zadie Smith's experience of lockdown. I had this fear of like Maya Angelou handing that girl her ass when she called her Maya.
Yeah.
So Zadie Smith.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said first name basis.
Trust me. I have met her though.
Yeah, exactly. Like... So, what was your favourite Zadie Smith novel that we read?
I think mine was On Beauty. And I came to it looking for answers because I feel like beauty has always been a big question for me and has shaped a lot of my personality in terms of like what I feel like I've had to unlearn and what I've had to understand about how the world sees me and also how I see others in the world. So I came to it, I was like, oh yeah, On Beauty, very clearly going to be discussing what I need to read about. But actually, I didn't really feel like it
really
dealt with it. I was like, what is this mess?
Yeah.
What is this family mess?
Yeah. I feel like I'm here to learn about beauty as a value system.
And it was just such a mess. And I think what I really took away from it, I mean, we're not, this isn't takeaways, but what I took away from like this book in particular was it is what it is. Like, beauty is happening. Like, we're not going to pretend that certain people don't get certain privileges, but we're also not going to pretend that there aren't more important things.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and I think it was, it felt like all of the things I came to, it felt like I came for answers that were just dealt with very succinctly and were like,
that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then other than that, you just see how beauty plays out and how it operates, but it doesn't like, I didn't feel like there was any comfort or reassurance. It was kind of like...
I know what you mean.
Yeah, build yourself up.
Yeah, and then also I feel like it explores kind of more than just like physical beauty.
Yeah.
I like that it also kind of like went into like aesthetics, because I think in a, like a less surface way, like I really liked the exploration of like beauty as like art as well.
Yeah.
And like aesthetic beauty. And I think it's like what's in like Howard, for example, like he is obsessed with, I think it's Rembrandt, right?
Yeah.
And like how like for him, beauty like is like an objective thing because he's like an art scholar or he's an art scholar, so for him like he sees beauty very much as this kind of like objective thing or like something to consume.
Yeah, but then you see how that's almost like a lie.
Yeah,
in the way that he operates in his real life.
Exactly.
And how like I don't know, academic theory when it comes to your day-to-day, it's like how do your values or your thoughts stand up,
like what is your theory like in practice?
Which I thought was like really, it was really interesting. Even like his wife, Kiki, like how she starts her life very conventionally beautiful and then she puts on a lot of weight. And so she really understands the difference.
Yes.
She knows what it's like to be considered beautiful and attractive and privileged in that way.
And then to be the opposite. Completely. Or to be considered the opposite.
Yeah. And have to like, I don't know, it felt like that was something she was wrestling with, but mostly in her marriage. It felt like Howard wasn't, I don't know, when we start the book, are they at the end of it? It feels like their relationship is falling apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what Zadie Smith does really well in all her books is creates a really cool cast.
Yeah.
I find it really hard to create, like for me, usually a book has one main character and then all these other people who just... supporting, but she's really good at creating a cast of people who you can learn from and point to and like,
and that are also distinct as well and like so real. Yeah, like she really can put together a cast of like characters, like for sure.
Yeah. Which one was your favorite?
So it was On Beauty for me as well, just because like as you're saying as well, I've always found like the exploration of like beauty as a thing to be like fascinating, because I don't think it's kind of like as surface level or as like, you know, subjective as we like to feel that it is. So like I always kind of like enjoy reading or learning more about it. And then I guess also I really liked, as we're saying, kind of like the cast of characters. I like how real and how fully fleshed all of her characters feel. Like, even if like you're not gonna like everybody, they're always interesting, you know? And I feel like they're bringing a different perspective. I feel like every character in this novel has like a different perspective that they're bringing to the not just like the plot, but like also the themes that are like being explored. Even just as you've said, just through Howard and then through Kiki, we get to see beauty like through two completely different lenses.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, yeah, like super, super fascinating to me. And then also like oddly humorous, which is like one thing that I love about Zadie Smith. Is that she's obviously is super witty. But like the way that she like just kind of weaves humor into these into her narratives is like really impressive to me.
One of the funniest things is, so like I said, this family's mixed race, and the son is like really wants to tap into his black side, and is like really wrestling with what it means to be like truly black or authentically black. And then this kind of black guy, I think his name is Levi, he comes in, and I think he's more working class, and like he sees him as being like the stereotypical black person and really tries to associate with him. And like, and I just found it was so funny, but also like very serious.
Like, it's funny, but it's very real.
So I think you're right.
And I'm not going to lie, I will say that I think Zadie Smith's like explorations of mixed race identity have always been like quite interesting to me as well. I think she is one writer who I think like grapples with it quite well. In a way that is, I feel like, true and respectful to like both sides of whatever culture or like whatever races that she is currently like exploring, you know?
And even from a colorist perspective.
Exactly that as well. And I was going to somehow find a way to like link this back to Northwest, but I thought,
it doesn't matter, you can just say it.
Yeah, I was going to say, just because you can tell that she grew up in a very like multicultural like environment.
And I love how she finds a way to bring in Northwest to every book, because this book is set in Massachusetts, but they go to Kilburn. She's like, we have to go there. Is it bad that's one of my favorite things about her writing?
No,
that's it.
No, it's not. It's one of my favorite things about her writing as well. Like, I think especially when I first read like Zadie Smith, I was like, wow,
I was like,
wow, imagine like read, I was like, Willesden.
Are we famous?
Is she outside? Like, what's going on? So, yeah, no, like, I don't think it's great to be, like, seen and, like, represented, like, in the way that she does.
It's interesting. It's an interesting feeling. I didn't think it was one that I would identify with.
Yeah.
But I do. But yeah, when you talk about just the way that she approaches being an interracial woman, but I think the way she approaches everything, I feel like she is so self-aware, so thoughtful, so measured, but also really judgmental. And I think, how do you manage to be all of those things? And intimations, like that essay, the essay she wrote in lockdown, in one way, it's the one time where I feel like she really went towards America. Because she talks a lot about not just COVID in the US, because I think that's where she was when lockdown started, but also she talks about like the Black Lives Matter movement. And she obviously focuses on the US. But yeah, I think that she's just unafraid of like stating what is wrong and what is right, but also stating the bits that are a bit blurred. And there's so many statements that she's made. I feel like she never gets in the, maybe I'm missing this, but I don't know, have you seen, I never feel like she says anything that gets sensationalized. And I think there's something to say about that, that she is so, it never feels like blanket. So you can't like take it and just like, Zadie Smith says.
Out of
context. It's like you'd have to get a whole.
Like,
but one thing she has said that I always think about that I want answers to is that she said that she feels like the British education system doesn't allow for writers to be created. Like,
I mean,
she said that a long time ago, though, so maybe things have improved. And I know that she's...
Like the public education system?
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think it made me so sad. And she didn't elaborate on it much at the time, but it's something that I would love if I ever speak to her in my life, like properly. It's something that I want to hear about, because it also reminds me of what Jamaica Kincaid said about if she grew up in the UK, she'd never become a full person. And I feel like people keep hinting things about us, and I'm like, damn, like,
we gotta get out of here, girl.
What's happening to us? Get out. Like, all these people saying, get out.
Yeah, literally. I do think she's kind of like right in that sense. But to be fair, I feel like it's also because like writing in itself is not a poor man's hobby. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not something that you can really dedicate your life to, I feel like, unless you have some kind of security net or like something to kind of fall back on or some kind of something to support you whilst you kind of like pursue that dream.
Yeah.
At least not for the average person.
To be honest, writing a novel young is actually the best strategy.
Yeah, whilst at uni, get
out. Well, you have less responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids, if you're listening.
Start now. So, what was your least favourite then? Was there any that we read that you didn't like or you didn't exactly take to?
I really don't think that I had a least favourite. Like, I do sometimes think that they're a bit long.
Yes.
And I get to the middle and I'm like, ooh, Zadie.
Oh my Zadie God. Smith. The woman cannot write a book under 300 pages.
You know?
Like,
Intimations was like a, was refreshing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, also, like, she's written Grand Union, her short story
collection,
which I was really happy to buy. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm like, ooh. But, you know, went to see her at a talk and she was like, nobody wants to read anymore. And I was like, damn.
She's talking about me.
Yeah, so I think that, like, maybe that's a me problem.
Yeah, no, that probably is a me problem as well.
But I be thinking that. And then sometimes she's very, I feel like it's not a bad thing, but she's very fair to everyone and no one feels like a villain.
Yes.
Everyone feels so human. Mm-hmm. And that's really good. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think there are some people who are just, have been corrupted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For real reasons. Mm-hmm. And I never feel like I see them. I haven't read all of her books, so I'm not going to, but in the books I've read, this is not necessarily a bad thing. This is just like my own quirks, but there's never any true darkness. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think that's me.
Yeah, that's actually quite true. There's never any kind of villainy going on. Mm. But I mean, yeah, like that's fine, right?
Yeah, no.
I feel like especially because a lot of the time she is exploring kind of like, as we said earlier, family ties.
Yeah.
And I think it's like one thing that I've really learned from her, especially like just to go back to White Teeth.
Yeah, let's even start on it. We didn't talk about it
yet. Did we not?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, which is something that I feel like she especially touches on a lot in White Teeth, which is kind of like, there are moments in there when people are obviously doing things that are like morally reprehensible or maybe being corrupted in some kind of way. But I just find it fascinating how she still in the end manages to bring it all back together.
I always understand them. I'm always like, yeah, I get it.
Exactly. And then it's like, eventually, they almost all end up understanding each other. Always.
It's very Jane Austen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it actually is. But I feel like it's this thing of like showing that family structures or like family ties, even when like people are like wildly different from each other, have wildly different outlooks and perspectives, family is just kind of like unbreakable, really.
Yeah, can't get away from them.
Yeah, can't get away from them. Even when you want to. Even when you try, like, as is, like, explored, like, in White Teeth. Like, for example, with the twins, when one of them is, like, sent back to, with one of the families. Yeah. I think the Bangladeshi family has a set of twins, and one of the twins is sent back to Bangladesh, and the other one continues to live in London. And you just kind of, like, see how they grow up completely differently as a result of that, and turn into completely different people, but still, in the end, are more or less treated like they're the same.
Yeah, and also the twist at the end, which I won't spoil. But I think one of the greatest things about White Teeth is that she writes a story from the perspective of a Bangladeshi family. I love that she did that because I'm not Bangladeshi, so I can't tell anyone if she did it well. Mm-hmm. But I haven't heard them complain. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was an issue, if she didn't do it well, but I feel like she managed to do it.
It felt like a true depiction to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard anyone uprise yet. Yeah, or like any otherwise. Uproar. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you, like, what do you think about people writing from perspectives that they haven't experienced.
I think if you haven't experienced, it's a bit wild. Like, if you have no experience of something, like, no experience like, of, like, certain culture, like, exactly. Like,
he did it not bad as well.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. But then I feel like then a lot of times, especially with, like, TV shows, you're going to have, like, input, you know, like, outside input.
Yeah, yeah.
And people, not, like, fact-checking, but, like...
Yeah.
Kind of fact
checking. Being advisors. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, being cultural advisors, whatever. Yeah. But, like, you know, with writing, you're really just sat there solitary. And, like, obviously it goes through the editing process, yeah, and people and might be like, this is research. Wrong, this is right. Mm. Exactly. But then also, babes, Northwest. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, she might not be from that culture, but she would have grown up around it.
Definitely we did.
Exactly. Yeah. We definitely did. Yeah. So it wouldn't have been anything that was, like, unfamiliar to her. It's what she was seeing when she was walking down the road every day. It's what she was, like, it's what her friends were. It's what she was growing up around. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I think there's, like, a difference in writing completely outside of your, like, writing outside of your culture. I think it's okay for people to write outside of their culture, as long as you do it with respect and with tact and also with knowledge.
Yeah.
And I think she's also incredibly observant. Like, she just has to be, because even the way that she writes, right, it's so sensory. Like, it's very much like you're walking down the road and you're taking note of everything that's happening. That person shouting across the road, like, what's their story? What's their background? That noise that we can hear, the bus that's going down, like, coming up the road.
Yeah.
What number is that? Where does it go?
Yeah.
Where does it come from? Who is it carrying? Like, she's just very detailed and, like, observant. And, yeah, like, I just love it.
And it's that's another thing I loved about Intimations. Is that because it's nonfiction and it's personal, you kind of see her doing that live.
Mm.
Like, the conversation she hears in Subway when she goes to buy a sandwich, or when she's walking down the road and she sees flowers and then she kind of stops.
Mm.
Or, like, conversations with her masseuse and overhearing nail technicians. Like, she, yeah, this is very much her life. Now it's time for Book Recs, the segment where we read your book requests and try to recommend you something useful. Please tell us how that's going for people who have sent in requests in the past, by the way. This listener has asked for a psychological thriller that makes me think philosophically. I feel like I've gotten complacent in life and want to question my reality.
They want to shake it up.
Is it shake it up?
Yeah, they want to shake things up. Okay.
Yeah, this is a fun one.
It is a fun one.
Yeah.
When I read psychological thriller, I'm not going to lie, I immediately thought horror.
I thought Get Out. But we're not talking films.
Yeah, like, psychological thriller is, like, a genre novel. I don't know if it's, like, one that I'm super, super familiar with. I'm not going to lie.
But I think I really feel like, I don't know, initially I was like, what? But now that I've thought about it, it does make me think, I do think of some stories that actually, yeah, fit this category.
Yeah.
So one for me would be Franz Kafka. Anything Franz Kafka, really. But I've got here The Unhappiness of a Single Man. Or just the main one. What's the one when he wakes up as a bug?
Metamorphosis.
There we go. I think it was so creepy.
I was just thinking, that is actually, like, a consistent theme, like, for him, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he will make you question your life, especially if you're complacent.
And it is thrilling.
Psychologically. And it is psychological. What's The Unhappiness of a Single Man about? I haven't read that one.
It's a collection of short stories, but, like, short, like, really short, by him, basically, yeah. Mm. One of them is called The Unhappiness of a Single Man.
Oh, okay.
Another one is called Poseidon, which I really love, which is, like, a little take on the working man and how, like, you waste away your life. And it's like, you think you're just reading a little Greek mythology and it's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
And lots of, like, you know, he has had, like, a tortured relationship with his dad.
Okay.
There's lots of stuff in there about that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to read more Kafka.
Yeah, I think you'd really like this one in particular.
Mm, okay, I'll pick it up. And then my recommendation was going to be, please don't groan at me, but it was going to be The Stranger by Albert Camus.
I really want to read this. I haven't read it.
Yeah, I think you'd really like it. So it's essentially, like, it's about a man who commits a completely unnecessary and senseless murder, and he just feels no remorse for it at all. So essentially it's a novel about morality and kind of, like, what it means to exist and what we owe to existence and, like,
I love this.
Yeah, I found it really fascinating.
I'm really grateful for this question, just for that.
Yeah. I found it really fascinating. It's really interesting. I think it definitely will make you question at least a few things. You'll definitely be questioning the characters, their motives, what you yourself might do in that situation, what's right, what's wrong. So, yeah, I think it's a good one for that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hope you like them.
Yeah.
I like them.
No, we two male recommendations. Two male
authors. I know. Look at us. Time for takeaways. What do you got, sis?
What is my biggest takeaway? My biggest takeaway is definitely, not to be corny, but, the power of representation. And I feel like that's why she's the perfect one to end this whole entire season with.
Yeah.
There's just something so powerful about an author who you feel adequately represented by, and also who, what's the word here? It's so familiar.
Yeah.
And whose writings are so familiar to your own life and the things that you see when you step outside the door.
Mm.
So... yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from Zadie Smith as an author, a person, a figure, a writer, is literally just that. I love how she explores identity, and not just her own, but everybody else's as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what the formation of that can be like and everything else. So, yeah.
Honestly, we could just end it there because I think that's it.
No, your biggest takeaway.
I don't know. I think my biggest, because obviously this season is really not just about people's books, but their lives and how, their books as a representation of things they've done with their life and what they're trying to communicate to us. And for me, with her, it's always been how serious she is about things that are serious.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I spend a lot of time, I'm worried now that when I look back, I'll see that I've worried about things I shouldn't have.
Mm.
And I feel like she's always been worried about the right things.
Mm.
And so that.
Yeah.
And I like that her books are long. Mm-hmm. I like that she's
contrary to what we said 10 minutes ago.
in the sense of the assertiveness of that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to write this long book and y'all are going to read it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play these characters out in my favorite town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that, and just the work ethic. She said, when she wrote her first book, obviously she became very successful, and she felt like the rest of her career was about. She didn't feel like she deserved it at that point, or she'd worked necessarily for that kind of success.
Yeah,
and the rest of her life became about making that make sense.
Mm.
And I just feel like she absolutely has.
Really did, girl.
Yeah,
I mean, it made sense even just with the first novel. But I hear it.
Yeah, because that was hard work.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a really impressive debut.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And actually, now I had another question for you.
Oh, I'm shook.
Shook. Just since it's our last episode, have you had any takeaways from the season in general? Is there any final words you want to leave with us?
Hmm.
Any final thoughts, lessons, learnings?
I think the biggest probably is the Angela Davis episode.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
I really felt I really stepped back.
Mm-hmm.
I became that kind of turn off the news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just can't listen to the news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I didn't like that about I don't like that about myself. So reading that really reminded me of who I want to be, or who I've always wanted to be.
Mm.
So yeah, that.
Angela Davis. I think the same. Mm. That episode, that reading experience was so emotional.
Yeah.
For me in general, but then also just as you're saying, really not awakening, but it definitely woke me up to something that as you're saying, I think I'd start to become quite complacent about.
Mm.
So yeah, that's been. That was my favorite as well. Yeah,
thank you for the question.
That
surprise, surprise.
Surprise. But yeah, I just thought, we should try and wrap it up on a nice little,
new segment, guys.
Exactly, new segment.
Pew, pew, pew. Sorry.
But no, I think it's been a great season. And lots of great authors. Yeah. We've made so many great new friends.
Yeah, yeah.
New friends. And thank also you for everyone who's joined us.
Also, shout out to Juliet.
Oh, yes. And also shout out to Juliet. Oh, yeah. No, definitely, definitely necessary.
Honestly, shout out to our producers, yeah. II Studios.
Yeah, shout out
to Shout out to Melissa.
Shout out to Melissa.
Thank you for joining us this season.
Thank you. I don't know if it's like the hay fever, which is obviously absolutely destroying me, but I feel like I'm getting a bit emotional.
No.
I do think it's the hay fever though, but like...
No, I think I'm getting a bit emotional.
My eyes tearing up. I actually feel a bit emotional.
It's been real.
Yeah, it's been very, very real. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey and like for this season. It was so great to like come back to so much support and so much love. So thank you.
Yeah. And all the people that have joined us along the way to season 3, thanks for coming. Welcome.
Yeah,
join us for season 4.
Yeah. Date TBD.
Tell your friend.
Yeah. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so in the meantime, and on off season, you can still find us on Instagram/TikTok at The Stacked Pod. We're going to try and keep it going for you guys whilst we are off season. So we'll be doing lots of like fun little things on there. Hopefully book reviews, listener recommends, and anything else. So make sure to check out and see what we're doing on there.
Yeah. And while we're away, guys, make sure to pick up a book.
Pick up a book for the last time.